Powered by Riverside.
A happy St. Patty's Day to you.
We're talking about the Green Lanterns.
We're talking about the Green Lanterns and all of their charms today. What's going on, Adrian? Happy St. Patty's Day.
Thanks, St. Patty's Days. Hey.
Did you wear green today? Did you get pinched?
I wore a green shirt to the gym.
Nice.
And it actually was from a Shamrock half marathon.
Whoa. So Shamrock, all right. Too. Dang. All right. So you're extra covered. I'm still waiting on the pinch because honestly, like, for as much Eagles stuff as I have, I just didn't wear any green today. So I'm waiting for that leprechaun to come out. I wish that motherfucker would. I'd love to see him try to pinch me.
See not what the happens. One from the horror movie, man.
Oh, scary. Yeah. No, as long as it's not that one. As long as it's scary. Not. That's isn't that Warwick?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, don't come for me.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. I hope you're all not getting pinched. Hope you're having a great St. Patty's Day. Maybe drinking a Guinness while you listen to us. Oh, who are we? It's a great question for new listeners. We're actually Donut Squad Radio. And this is your one-stop shop for news, chats, and reviews. Heavy on the reviews today.
Ayo.
On the nerdy world you love. My name's Colin, and I'm here with my best good pal and co-host, Adrian. And together, we'd like to say to all who come to this happy place, welcome, laddie.
Hell yeah.
I gotta quit it with that. I gotta get it out of my system now, or else it's gonna come through during our Green Lantern review.
Now I wanna watch Luck of the Irish.
Yeah. We, you know, I gotta take St. Patty's Day a little more serious, you know? Like, I feel like for college and, like, I feel like you're in school and it's all about, like, first off, elementary school. Like, what's that leprechaun messing with? Messed up the classroom while we were away or something like that at recess. We can come back.
That was the most mesmerizing part of being a child.
I was like,
all right, this is...
All right, man. All right, guys.
Like, what do you mean?
Why are the cops not here?
What do you mean there's a leprechaun here?
Did he mess with my stuff?
Did he take my lunch money? Exactly. I just remember being like, that's not real, right?
Keep it cool. Trying to keep it cool. Like, you're just like sweating in the back. You're like, no, Adrian, it's okay. He's a nice leprechaun. It's like, no, man. No.
We just watched those movies.
And then, like, I feel like high school, it was more so just like, oh, like, wear green, I guess. Like, it would be like a spirit day or something like that. And it's like, wear green. Not really much. College was a whole another story. Obviously, you have, like, you know, parties. You're constantly drinking.
Get in freaking wasted. Yeah.
Skipping all your classes. And then, I mean, now it's like, now what do I have?
Green Lantern.
Now I've got Green Lantern. Now I've got Ryan Reynolds in an incredibly CGI suit, skin tight suit.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? You'll have to keep listening. Yeah. We'll be talking about it. But first, dude, I got to know, Chad, how's your week been going? And you have any donuts for this past week and a half at this point?
I got some good stuff to talk about, man. I got one thing that I've been waiting to text you about. I've been itching to text you about, but I haven't texted you about it because I wanted to save it for a donut.
This is what we do for you all. This is what we do. We put our friendship sometimes on hold for you shills.
Yep. That's exactly. It's just.
We love you all.
We do. We love you. And I ignore. I just. Straight up ignore Colin. I'm just like, fuck you. Don't text me.
Yeah, fuck you. fuck you, dude. Take the pod.
Week's been good. Last week was really busy. I was traveling for work. And then I was in Richmond for one of my very good friends' bachelor parties for his, he's getting married next month. And we had a nice, very nice time in Richmond. Played a bunch of video games. We rented out this historical movie theater.
That's so cool.
And we played like Nazi zombies and Mario Kart on the giant movie screen. It was sick.
Dude, that sounds amazing.
Drank too many Guinnesses. but, you know, it happens sometimes. But it was a great time. But no, the week's been good. I got some good donuts. Been rewatching The Walking Dead. And
whoa. Okay. Any
just having a
yeah, just did it just happen? Like you just
Jennifer just started watching it interesting. Like, out of nowhere, and then she put it on one day. I was like, I'm gonna start this from the beginning. So
has she watched it before? Is this
we
her
both
first
watched watching? Like to a certain point, but right. Never like I've never watched all the way through.
Yeah, I feel like it gets like blurry at times, but then like I'll hit an episode in like season 3, and I'm like, I have seen this before. Why am I forgetting all of this?
Like, yeah. So there's some I remember, some I've like some I'm kind of in the I'm in like the middle of season 2 and I'm like, I don't remember all this now. I know certain people don't make it. I just don't remember how they die or when they die.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that, but I got the first compendium of the Walking Dead comic as well, just
cool.
To toss that in.
Yeah.
I should have led with this one. First and foremost, Michael B. Jordan winning the Oscar for Best Actor.
Absolutely deserved it.
It was, man, that was a wonderful moment.
Dude, did you see that he got in and out like afterwards? Like he was just chilling in and out. I was like, I love that. I would do the exact same thing.
I love him. He's like one of my favorite actors. And I was just, I don't know. It was just I was so relieved that he wasn't snubbed because I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and Sinners as a whole didn't get snubbed. I wish it won Best Picture, but it won a lot of really good awards. So I was really happy about that. And One Battle After Another is a phenomenal movie. So I can't even be mad that it won a bunch of awards too.
Right.
Like, you know what? It was a good split between the two of those movies. My final donut, I caved, and I got Procopia.
Did you, dude? I knew it was a matter of time. I was like, once Adrian starts thinking and he starts reliving those Viva Pinata days and thinking of it in Pokemon, like there's no way,
man. There was no way. And like, I knew I was going to be coming back Sunday from Richmond, and I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I just want to sit on the couch. So I downloaded it that day, and the little like Ditto that you play as is the goofy. He's such a goofy guy. He's so funny. And I don't know. The game is exactly like it's actually like is a little cuter than I thought it would be. Like I knew it was going to be insanely cute.
Yeah.
But like every 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, so cute. It's great. I love it so much.
So, how long would you say you've played?
I don't know. Put it a few hours. Nothing crazy.
Okay. So, like, let's just say, like, let's say, like, a five hour review, high level. How do you like
it? It's like, so it's definitely not just Animal Crossing with a Pokemon skin. Definitely not that.
Okay.
Similar mechanics. Obviously, they're both made by Nintendo, and they're shamelessly using a lot of the same features as Animal Crossing. But there are also the Viva Pinata aspects to it where, like, yeah, in Animal Crossing, you have to attract villagers, but not specific types of villagers.
Yeah.
Where in this, it's like, create this type of habitat and you'll attract this type of Pokemon. And then you have to do this to that habitat to keep them here and make them happy. And I got
That's
like,
cool.
I have like 6 Pokemon right now.
Ooh, dang, you already got six. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I tell you who I have, or do you want to just...
I've already seen some spoilers, and I've seen that you kind of start out with, like, the OG three.
Yeah.
Which I think is dope, which is awesome. You can probably spoil them for me because, you know, who knows when I'll get around to playing it.
One of them, I was like, already, this is such a, you guys, this is a gift. I got a Scyther right out of the gate.
Okay.
Yeah. A hoot hoot. It's like, whatever. There's one guy who like builds, but he's not part of like the original. I don't know.
No.
I'm not familiar with his game.
Is he like, is he holding like girders, steel girder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Ruby and Sapphire, I want to say was his Gen 3.
It's got to be after that. I didn't recognize him at all.
I remember the, maybe it is after that. Cause I can picture the gym leader. Like the fighting type gym. And I want to say the like final evolved form literally is called like Girder or something like that. I don't know. But
let's see so here.
Do they all have an action that they can do when you get them on your island? Or are they
they either have an action or they have something that they show you how to do and you being a ditto can learn how to do it.
God. Okay. That's smart. Okay.
And it's kind of creepy. Like from Scyther, I got like blade hands now and I'm like the freaking T2.
Yeah.
Like,
zing, zing.
And but it's like, he's so cute. And then he runs like the kids from Weapons, like with his arms down. And he like leans forward and runs like that. He's really awkward and cute and weird.
I kind of like that because like a ditto wouldn't know like how a human moves.
He knows nothing.
Yeah.
And
you can make him like, you like customize your person, your ditto.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And you can buy stuff.
Nice. I like that too.
But yeah, man, overall, like, it's fantastic. It's, like, I can see it having a grip on me as much as, like, Animal Crossing did. And I love Animal Crossing so much. Like, mm-hmm. One of the most phenomenal games I've ever played. I love it.
Yeah.
This might have a leg up on it because you have those sought-after Pokemon that you really want. The villagers, yes. I never got to the point where I was looking up which villagers I could get and be like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so with Pokemon,
with Animal Crossing, I feel like you could look up a list of the villagers, but to your point, like there was nothing you could do about it. Like it was essentially just like, hey, if they show up on your island one time, lucky you, cool.
Make the most of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like make sure you get them to like move into your island. But this actually sounds like there are objectives that you can like actively like go after to do that, which I can see that. I can see that being super addicting.
Yeah. So it's fun. I like it a lot. It's cute.
Nice.
And I could spend all day cleaning up my island. Just like, I'm like, well, I got a lot of work to do and no one else is going to do it. I roll my sleeves up and I get to work.
Just got to do it.
Job. A lot of elbow grease going into that game. Real quick, we saw a few movies. We saw Hoppers and The Bride. Did I tell you about Hoppers?
You didn't tell me about either of these. Now, I have heard nothing about Hoppers. I have heard an overwhelming amount about The Bride so far.
From who?
From Reddit threads, from YouTube videos.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, like Instagram reels. Not from people. Yeah, not from real people.
I thought Lynn might have seen it because it's a very... Like, I texted her immediately afterwards. Yeah. I was like, go see it now. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hoppers is a great...
Was it good?
Pixar movie,
okay.
Yes.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. No. It was... Like, not it's not gonna be the new Toy Story. It's not whatever.
Yeah.
But it's great, man. It's so good. It's so there's so much heart in it. It's we like, I really loved it. Jennifer really loved it. We were both very, very happy leaving that movie. And then The Bride, my first 5-star movie of 2026.
Holy crap, man. I was not expecting that. The things I'm hearing about it are the exact opposite.
Oh, no, man.
Really?
It was like masterpiece level movie. It was amazing.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I will have to check out The Bride then. It was, see, like, from the start, like, every time we saw a trailer, Shannon and I would kind of lean over to each other and be like, this is not it. Like, this does not, it gave me Joker 2 vibes.
Literally, this gives away nothing.
Okay.
But my Letterboxd review goes, Joker, Folia Do, tried to walk, slipped, fell on its face, got embarrassed, trained for schools, dropped out, and never tried walking again so The Bride could run.
All right. I love it.
It was, dude.
Dude, I'll check it out. Good. I'm glad.
Because like, that steelbook as we were walking out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, when do they like release steelbooks for movies? Like,
depends on the studio.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like that's like early, but like, I guess if they know that it's coming out on Blu-ray at some point, might as well start the steel case stuff.
Yeah. Some studios, it's like, as it comes out in theaters, you can pre-order it, but you won't get a release date yet. You'll just get it when it comes out. And then Disney is like a month before it comes out. So,
okay.
I remember like Fantastic Four, I had to wait until like maybe like August or something, or September to pre-order it. And the movie came out and it was like September or October. I had to pre-order it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. Anyways, enough about me. Tell me your donuts.
Oh, my donuts. Oh, man. Well, I did send Adrian this, but one of my donuts, I finished Kingdom Hearts 2. I finished the story. And there's an emptiness in me now. That I'm not playing it. And it's like, I went back, I did the Ultima weapon, was able to make that. I beat Sephiroth. I was thinking about going back and fighting Lingering Will, who's like the final, like, secret boss. And everything I was looking up was like, yeah, like, you know, you're, especially me, because like, I'm not particularly like good at the game. So, like, everything I was looking up was, like, you're probably going to want to be level 99. And at that point, I think I put down the game at level, like, 83. Because I was just, like, I've done pretty much everything. There's not going to be an organic way to level up. Like, I'm not going to be, like, oh, like, doing this, and all of a sudden I find myself at level 99. It's going to be grinding, you know, like, going to the same spot over and over again. And so, like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm in such a good mental space for Kingdom Hearts 2 right now. I'm just going to leave it. So Lingering Will, maybe someday I'll come back to you and, like, I'll go back into this save. I'll try to retrain myself on the combat and, like, maybe someday I'll go back and do Lingering Will, but very happy with my experience. It's so great to see all of the, like, all three of the characters, like, back together again. And completely forgot a lot about the ending, which all of it's just so badass. And then I inevitably go down the rabbit hole of looking up, what exactly does this mean? What does this mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who the fuck is this? Like, I haven't seen this person.
You gotta be careful
months.
With those, because yeah. I've almost spoiled things for myself.
It's almost like hard not to, because like they'll introduce a character and then they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, like, you really shouldn't know about this character until you've like watched, you know, 2.8 or something like that, until you've done this DLC or until you've played this.
And you
like,
see them kill this person
game.
and I'm like, hey.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So I went through that again and watched a whole, you know, like, here's what this means, here's what this means. But also, like, dude, I've become, like, I'm trying to stop myself because, like, I have replaced basically TikTok with Reddit. And, like, I don't want to become that sweaty Reddit dude. But it's really, really helpful. And some people are really genuine on it. And, like, I'm now on the Kingdom Hearts Reddit. And somebody was like, hey, guys, just reaching out. I have an 8-year-old daughter. We're going to be playing Kingdom Hearts 1 for the first time. What are some question, what are some answers I should have on hand? And like the top comment was, I was 9 or 10. We, like, most of us were like 9 or 10 when we first played Kingdom Hearts, and we still love it. So maybe just let her just do her own thing. And I was like, that's really good advice. Like,
that is,
that's what these games are all about. Like, just enjoying them. Dude, we had to have been, it was
8.
Yeah, because it was 2002 when the first one came out. And yeah, like, we might not have, like, understood, like, nobodies and, like, you know, like, what actually, like, Ansem was trying to do.
I don't really understand. Still don't really understand what was going on in that game.
No, that's my, and that's exactly what I mean, where it's just like, dude, like, Kingdom Hearts, and I'm sure there are purists out there who are just like, oh, it is all about the story. You know, like, you should, it's really not that hard to follow. It's just like, it's difficult to follow. But, like, also, that's not why I love it. Like, I love it because, like, I like seeing all the characters. I like seeing all the Disney worlds. And Cage 2,
the music
too,
rips,
man.
And makes,
the music,
it rips and it rips my heart out.
Yes. Dude, when that, because I was playing it on my Ally, and, like, for the most part, other than, like, certain, like, boss battles and stuff, I would play it, like, on mute. The entire ending sequence was, like, full blast. Like, I was listening to everything.
Sometimes you gotta mute that game.
Yeah.
Because Sora's like, this is it! This is it!
This is it! Cure!
Either!
Or if, like, you just keep dying, you...
Oh! Oh! Trust me, brother. I know. I'm like, not to take over your donut, but I did. I'm like, you know, slowly going through all of them. And next, I have Kingdom Hearts 2. But then I have 3, 5, 8 over 2 days.
Yes.
Which on the final mix is just a cinematic. Which,
yeah, right.
I'm on my TikTok is a lot of Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, if you have any way to play this game, play this game. Like, if you can get an emulator. I still have a DS, though, so I bought it on DS.
Yo.
And you should borrow it, because I'm not going to get to it for a while.
Dude, I would love to do that.
If you still have a, do you still have a DS?
Yes, we do. I do still have a DS.
That's, I have my 3DS, still.
I put 358 over 2, and the calculator popped up. Dude, I would be very interested in this, actually.
I literally just bought it because on Mercari, it was impossible to find the US version, not like a recreated version of it. Mm-hmm. And then I found it, and I got it, I think I spent total like $50.
That's not bad at all. $50.
Which I'm like, I'm curious. I'm like, is this real? But
is it real?
The guy had like perfect score, like perfect reviews and stuff. Yeah. So I was like, okay, we'll see. But
did it come with box and everything?
Yeah. CIV. Dang.
Wow.
I know. Right. Which I was confused.
Yeah. I would love to borrow that from you. I think right now I'm going to take a break from Kingdom Hearts universe. And I'm going to dip my toes in some other things. I'm still trying to figure out what to play next. Like, I started Arkham Knight on my Ally, and
so good.
It's so good, but, like, for some reason, I'm just like, I want to play this on my Xbox. I don't want to play this on my Ally.
Like, there are games that, like I, with the Portal, I can't finish Spider-Man on the Portal. I have to play the ending of it on big screen.
Yes. Yeah. You know? I want big screen.
Yeah.
With big music.
Then there are like, there are games like overall I kind of need to be on big screen. But then when I finish the story in Spider-Man, I can do city tasks on little screen.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's just how it is.
It's just how it is. And like, and there are just like, there are those games that like, I feel like same for the Portal. The minute you start it, you're just like, this is cool that this like runs this way on a handheld. Just doesn't feel right. Like, I feel like this should just, I feel like I should be on console for this. Like, it should be big screen. Like, I tried Kingdom Come Deliverance, like the first one. And that's like,
familiar.
So it's essentially like realistic Skyrim. Like, it's night simulator, basically.
I have heard of this one, actually.
Yeah. I really got in the mood for it watching A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And like one of the first lines you hear is like somebody like threatening to give someone a clout in the ear. I was like, damn. I was like, all right, cool. Like, this is sweet. And I started that on the Ally and I was just like, you know, I kind of want to play this on big screen. Like I want to play this on my actual Xbox, and I still feel bad just passing by my Xbox every day. Just like, hey, babe.
Oh, I know.
I got to go right now, but I swear, you know, get dressed up nice. I'm taking you out tonight.
that's how I feel about my Xbox. And like, I hate to say it, like, I'm so tempted to look out for Kingdom Hearts on sale, like all of them on sale on PlayStation so I can play them on Portal. But I bought 1.5 and 2.5 Final Mix. I bought 2.8 and I bought Kingdom Hearts 3 all on Xbox, and I can't do it again.
You can't do it.
Unless
yeah,
they're like $3 each, which they won't be.
Aren't they? Are they not on Switch?
They're on cloud. Whatever.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, sometimes that gets like a little choppy and stuff like that. So
it's like beta, whatever. I don't know.
Right.
I was like, I want this big screen anyways. So
yeah. 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 Exactly.
But like the Portals, I like the Portal. I like that Portal.
I believe it. Everything I've seen from the Portal, like people swear by it. And it's, I would imagine it's very similar. Like it's definitely thinner than the Ally, but I'm trying to figure out what to play next on the Ally.
Outlaws?
Maybe. Again, that feels like a big screen game too.
Like, that's true.
I'm tempted. Like, I bought, I started playing Metaphor Fantasia. Metaphor. It was up for Game of the Year, I think. Yeah, ReFantazio. Like, it was up for Game of the Year, I think, last year. And it's been cool. I don't know if I'm going to continue with it. It's just not grabbing me. And with so many games out there nowadays, like, it really is, like, first world probs. But, like, if a game really doesn't grab me after, like, I think I've played, at this point, probably 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't grab me, like, I'm just going to move on. Especially because it's a Game Pass game. So I'm just, like...
Oh, with Game Pass, for sure.
Right.
There's that problem, and there's the opposite of that problem. You'll see what I'm saying. Like, where there's too many good games where, like, I got so far in Donkey Kong, and then I just stopped playing, and I'm like, literally last night I was like, ooh, I gotta go back to Donkey Kong. Because that game, like, between that and Pacopia, I'm like, I have gotten my money's worth on my Switch already.
Dude, you know
what I mean?
You could be set for like the next 2 years with those two games. Like, genuinely.
No joke.
Like,
So that's like the opposite of that other problem. It's like, it's still a first world problem where I'm like, I have too many good games. I got Spider-Man. I got Expedition 33. Like, I got too many good things to play.
Yeah.
Not enough time. Too many hobbies.
Dude, and then, yeah. And I was about to say, and then on top of that, we're about to hit a wave of television that's just gonna be like, we're gonna be busy every single night, like watching something.
Dude,
so
it's gonna be insane.
Too many good things.
I'm like, literally today, I was having like a little bit of a rough time at work of just like, I was like, this is annoying. And then I literally was just like, you give it a few weeks. You're going to have Invincible. You're going to have the boys. You're going to have Maul. You're going to have Daredevil. I was like, all right. And then I literally turned my day around. I was like, I could do this.
I can do this. You absolutely can do this.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, as far as donuts go, I mean, I think that might be it for me. Like, honestly, like, that's Kingdom Hearts has kind of been my jam for these past month, 2 months, maybe. Shannon's probably like super happy because like I've been playing some of it like before bed and stuff like that. So she won't be hearing the clickies anymore, which is nice.
That's a button masher too.
That is a button. Dude, I felt terrible. The boss you fight in the grid, legit, like I'm like, she had just turned off her iPad. She's rolled over. She's ready to go to sleep. And I'm just like, okay, like, just going to beat this boss. I'm in the middle of the boss. I'm just going to beat it and I'll be done. Literally one of the mechanics in it is literally tap Y as fast as you can. Like, yeah. Like four times and then like yeah. Get your hits in. And I'm just like, I'm sorry.
You're like slowly putting this. The pillow over her ears. Yeah. Like,
shh. It'll be over yeah. soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, well, I mean, that's, yeah,
that's a donut worthy being alone because
it really is. It really is.
Man, I had like the Kingdom Hearts music stuck in my head yesterday and I was sad because it's so good, you know? And
so good.
And I was like, damn, I need to go pick up Chain of Memories and just grind through it. Cause I think I mentioned to you, I'm not stuck on anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like playing through it. And I just stopped, and I just don't like the cards.
From what I've seen, from what I've picked up, and I hate to be this, I've already mentioned it like way too many times. Yeah, I've already mentioned it way too many times. From the Reddit, Chain of Memories, like a lot of people are just like, hey, we don't like the cards either. So like you're in good company there. They're like,
yeah.
The story is worth it, but...
The story
card
is cool.
Mechanic sucked.
The story is cool. I'm excited to get to Kingdom Hearts 2 because yeah. I've been in the same worlds for two games. That's another thing that's not very motivating.
Right.
I know when it originally came out, it came out on Game Boy, so it's like, oh, we have this.
It's a different look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still a great game. I'm just... I don't like the mechanics of it, but I'll go play it. I'll go play it. I'll do it.
Okay, everyone.
But anyways, man, we got some lanterns to talk about of the television and film variety. Film is a generous term.
Yeah.
For the movie we're going to talk about. But let's start off with the lanterns trailer. Kind of just like... We haven't gotten to talk about it since it came out like a week and a half ago or something like that. But I just rewatched it right before we hopped on. What did you think? And what did this do for your like hype level for the show?
My hype level is mostly just for anything DCU now is kind of through the roof. Like, I just feel like they're after Superman. Like, how can it not be?
Yeah.
And with this show, I appreciate that they are not shying away from their... They've got to be like a TV MA, right?
Oh, like in the trailer, they drop like four F-bombs.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, they're really not shying away. It was also kind of weird seeing Coach Taylor drop some of those F-bombs.
And I was like, Coach, run a lap.
You need to chill.
You need to do some bleachers. Till we learn how to talk better. That's what he would say.
That is what he would say. But I like Kyle Chandler. Like, I like his delivery. It's going to be interesting to see his Hal Jordan. And just like... Obviously, being a much older Lantern, like, how long was he a Lantern for? Did he did he start being a Lantern when he was as young as, you know, a Ryan Reynolds Hal? Like, was he chosen maybe a little later on in life? And also, why does he know that it's going to pass on? I think that's my interesting thing. Like, does he have a choice in this matter? Like, is he the one choosing his successor, or is it the ring? Is the ring like basically telling him, like, hey, I choose.
I'm really curious to see this as well, because like, we don't know why he's like some, you know, seemingly against his will training Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm interested to see like why they're even working together, because they obviously have like some beef, and
that's what it seems like.
Like, Jon Stewart thinks he can do the job better. Hal Jordan thinks he's like, he knows he's the OG, and like he's like not going to give up his position as Green Lantern unless he has to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of mystery around like, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? And that's what's great about the trailer, where they gave away practically nothing.
No, exactly. Like, it's giving me, it's almost giving me like a sort of True Detective vibe of like, there's definitely going to be like a big case that gets bigger and bigger and like involves more people, and it's going to have some twists, and like maybe certain characters that are introduced as protagonists like early on in the series have a switch or something like that. Like, I think that's what's so fun about us being this early in the DCU is that they really can do anything they want with the characters. Like, they can take any liberties they want. They can kind of forge their own path as far as who they're going to go along with. Like, is it just going to be Jon Stewart? Like, is Hal Jordan going to retire at the end of this, and it's just going to be Jon Stewart going forward? Or is there going to be some sort of switch up where, like, we have multiple Lanterns covering this sector? You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
And people were calling out the question of like him saying, Hal Jordan saying that he's the only human Lantern. Yeah. But then of course we also obviously have Guy Gardner. I didn't know how to read that either. Like, I don't know if this is maybe a different universe. Like, is this going to be our DCU, or is it going to be a Peacemaker situation of like, this is a universe in one of those doors?
I hadn't thought about that. I had just thought that there is an explanation for why he isn't counting Guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe right before that, he's saying like none of the other ones are humans, and he had just referenced Guy. And like, none of the other ones other than myself and Guy are humans.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, but I'm not, that's a really good point. I'm not discounting what you're saying, because I hadn't thought about it like that. I just thought there would be, I hadn't even like considered them not being in the same DCU.
Yeah. I mean, I could also see it being the case of like the Lantern Corps like almost disowned Guy Gardner because he took that role with the Justice Gang. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like, they might be like, no, like you're basically a cop. Like, cops don't just like join a vigilante group. You know what I mean? Like, they could.
Of all of like, I think that's the most realistic.
Yeah,
I think maybe Guy is like a bullshit Lantern.
Like an outcast. Yeah.
And he just still has his ring. But
because the ring chose him. Like they can't, I guess the Corps can't do anything about that. Like, they can't be like, you got to give your ring back, because it's not going to work for anybody else, right?
Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah, that was one of my biggest questions. Another big question for me was just like, obviously, what is this investigation they're doing? Why are Green Lanterns investigating something that seems very like Midwest America?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's almost like Fargo-esque. Like,
yeah. I saw a lot of people say the True Detective thing. I definitely got that with the music, mm-hmm. the whatever they call it, the gray, I forget what they call it, but like grayscale or something like that, when they make everything very dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
And I think HBO even outright said that that was an inspiration for the show. Like that True Detective season one. Mm-hmm. And True Detective season one is like S tier television. So
yes.
I'm fine with that. What else? I don't know. I like that it's going to be dark. I like that it's going to be gritty. It's going to be unique from Peacemaker and Superman and Supergirl. You know, they're all going to be doing their own thing. And I don't know. I'm beyond excited for it. And especially after what we just watched with Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Oh, yeah, me too. I wonder how many name drops are going to be in the show. I wonder if we hear about Argus, like what they're doing. Like, I wonder if we talk about Amanda Waller, if she's involved at any capacity. I wonder if they talk about, you know.
I bet you Waller is.
Probably. She's been the thread.
I think Rick Flagg will be mentioned, mm-hmm. no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it will depend on Supergirl, because I think there's going to be some... Supergirl's going to be its own story. This is what I think. I don't know this for a fact. But Supergirl's going to be its own story. But I feel like we'll have some kind of, I don't know, reference to something that happened in Superman. And Rick Flagg's been like kind of the through line for everything. But I can also see Waller being the through line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just seeing Lex in Peacemaker is like, dude, like you could see anybody in these shows. It doesn't matter how big or small this is. Like James Gunn meant it when he was like, everybody's connected in this universe. Like there is no small project that I'm not going to show, you know, I'm going to hold back on.
Give us the bride in live action, you coward. Dude. I saw like fan art of the voice actress who was she was in Game of Thrones and she was in she was in Obi-Wan Kenobi, and she could absolutely play the bride in live action. It was great. But
I'm looking her up now. Oh yeah.
We need all of Creature Commandos in live action.
Oh, I completely agree. It's a matter of time, I think. I think we get somebody. At least Frankenstein.
If we get David Harbour as Frankenstein in live action.
That'd be so good.
That would be incredible.
Really cool.
God, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the Lanterns trailer?
No, man. I thought it was coming up a lot sooner than it is. With this trailer coming out, I was like, oh dang, like this. I think this is like a late April thing. And I looked it up. I was like, August. I was like, dang, we gotta wait still.
I know. I'm like, part of me, I'm definitely looking forward to it a lot. I think, because we have Supergirl in between now and then, and we have just the most packed spring of TV, I'm like, I can wait. I have things that are going to satisfy me between now and then.
I have too many good things.
I know. We're spoiled. We're spoiled boys.
When also, does Supergirl come out?
The end of June. In June.
Okay, cool.
And then the Dune Part 3 trailer came out today.
Dude, it looks sweet.
I haven't watched it yet. I just saw the posters.
Yeah.
I saw it like as I was pulling up YouTube to watch the Lanterns trailer before we hopped on. I saw that it was on there. I was like,
yes.
But I'll watch it tonight. And then the Spider-Man trailer is coming out tomorrow.
Spider-Man. Yeah, I've been keeping up with like the little clips and stuff like that. What an odd choice. Like these what? Are like half a second clips that they're releasing.
I only saw the first one, the one that was recreating his first comic cover.
Yeah.
And it looked really cool.
Yeah. They all look cool. I'm just like, if you guys were releasing a trailer tomorrow, like, what is this? Why?
Pull a Lanterns and just, you know. Oh, yeah, I'm seeing this one, John Bernthal running Spider-Man over in his Punisher van.
I haven't seen that one.
There's not that one. There's
him putting on his mask while running was a cool one.
Let's see. Yeah, there's a decent amount of them now. I don't know. But I'm really excited for the trailer.
Oh my gosh, me too.
We haven't seen like anything.
No, we really haven't.
Oh yeah, and then we get a little Peter Parker and MJ. Huh. Well, very excited to see the trailer. Anyways, shall we?
We shall. Lanterns light.
Well, we're talking about the Green Lantern movie. Welcome to DSR Bad Movie Night. Emphasis on the bad. Overview of Green Lantern is released June 17th, 2011. I'm trying to like think of some movies that came out in 2011 just to put this in a perspective of... We can't use the excuse of this movie's 15 years old.
Yeah.
There's some great movies that came out then with, and I'm mainly talking about the visuals. Directed by Martin Campbell. Do I know who this person is? No. Mm-mm. I don't. And I'm gonna find out who they are and then go find them.
The only movie that I know from him is The Foreigner with Jackie Chan.
Looks like...
It's just like an action movie, basically.
There's no way. There's no way this person directed Casino Royale.
Whoa. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, he really phoned it in for the rest of them. And Goldeneye?
Oh, yeah.
Not that that's like, you know, it's a known movie.
Hey, Goldeneye. Hey. I'm not going to hate on Goldeneye. both Zorro movies, that's more like it.
Mm-hmm.
But Casino Royale, that is like...
He must have been on his A-game.
For once.
For once, yeah.
That's like... That's one of the best Bond movies ever made.
It is.
Anyways, and to finish this up, the runtime is 1 hour and 54 minutes. We both watched the 2 hour and 4 minutes extended edition just because we wanted a little bit more.
We just wanted so much. I didn't want it to end. I just wanted as much.
I need those extra 10 minutes.
Yeah. Which I'd be, since this was my first time watching it, I'd be very interested to see what exactly was part of the extended cut. Like what scenes?
I'm interested in that as well. Where do we even begin with this movie? Colin, what'd you think?
So I was explaining this to Shannon earlier today. I was like, this was like you said, like I wish we could say like this was a product of its time, but I feel like we were past what this movie is. By 2011, it is paper thin, like paper thin. And the characters, you're not necessarily really rooting for anyone.
No.
And there are some times where the CGI is like how did people keep their jobs? Like, how did this get, how is this allowed? There were other times.
It was hard.
It was really
hard. To watch.
Yes. Yes.
And let me just put this into perspective. Like, X-Men First Class came out in 2011. Transformers Dark of the Moon came out in 2011. Not the best story, phenomenal visuals. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 came out in 2011. Captain America, The First Avenger came out in 2011. Freaking Real Steel. I mean, it has good visuals.
Real Steel does. But, yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, so just looking at, like, we're not, I'm never going to let this movie fly by the, like, you know, it's a product of its time argument. Like, I was appalled at some of the things that got, that went through, like, got greenlit. But anyways, continue. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, high level, that's pretty much what I've got. Like, where it's just, it's a movie and it's incredibly forgettable. Like, I watched it yesterday and I'm going to have trouble, like, thinking of scenes genuinely, because it is one of those in your head for a second movie, just like, yeah, okay, and then out. So
yeah, it was very bad.
Yeah.
Not only was it very lackluster, it was just a string of movie cliches back to back to back, where it's like it was the most predictable movie I could ever think of in my life. And you just, like, insert Hal and, you know, superhero, like, you know, DC comic names, like the Lantern Corps, Amanda Waller, into, like, the characters' names for this very generic story. But this movie is not hated enough. I will say I enjoyed it more than Spirit of Vengeance, though.
Oh, me too. That's what I keep falling back to, where I'm like, was it Spirit of Vengeance? No, because it was actually a movie. But, like, it still doesn't forgive it. Like, just because it's better than...
arguably the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. Some would say arguably, like, the worst use of 2 hours you could ever use, like, on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, this is just, this still isn't a good movie. You can't compare the two, because everything's going to look better compared to Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah, that movie's trash. But, like, one of my first notes is, like, the beginning is laughably predictable, and then it just continued on that trend. And then, like, the dad is obviously going to eat it. Like, within the first minute of the movie, we know he's going to die. Yeah. And then...
hey, love you guys.
And then we get the crash. But also, he's like... he throws his jacket to his kid, like, keep it warm for me. I'm like...
be like,
why don't you just tell us?
You know, in case I die, here you go, kid.
And then, like, within 5 minutes of the crash happening, we see the flashback of the crash. But it's like a 3 minute flashback of this crash that we just saw. So they basically just showed us the same scene two times in a row back to back.
So I was looking it up just because I was curious. And the prologue, the crash in the beginning, is part of the extended cut, but that still doesn't forgive it. The extended cut is supposed to include stuff that, like, wouldn't be the exact same thing you get from the next scene.
Like, so do we not see the kid version of him?
I guess not. It says the opening segment is extended, providing more of a background on Hal's father and the moments leading to his fatal test flight.
Oh, my.
We definitely needed that.
That is absolutely insane. Well, yeah, of all things that they could add, Well, yeah. I mean, okay. So the beginning is bad, and then as soon as Blake Lively came on the screen, I was like, oh, this movie's gonna suck.
And dude, like her acting laughing was like it felt like she was like sarcastically laughing at everything. Like that's how bad it was. Like I was like, shut up. Like it's not. I could laugh better. I could fake a laugh better than that.
Yeah. Pretty bad. And there's not even like a specific point in the movie where I think the visuals are like clearly worse. It's like consistently half-assed, phoned in.
Dude, I think the first time Hal is on Oa, things actually look pretty good. The two characters and Sinestro, I forget the two characters, but also was one of them voiced by Ben Kingsley?
No, one of them was voiced by Tamora Morrison.
That's who I'm. He was.
Wait,
he was the guy who died, right?
That was Tamora Morrison. Oh, and yes. the guy who like trains him was Captain Barbossa. What's that
no
actor's
way.
Name?
I'm looking for him right now. Why can I not find
that? Jeffrey
he had
Rush?
A wackadoo name. I think you're right. Why are they not showing? Like, he was like a main character, basically. Like, why am I not seeing this? Was that Jeffrey Rush? Like, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find this. So there's Abin Sur, which was Tamora Robinson. Tamar Ray, Jeffrey Rush, yes. Oh my gosh, dude, he did great for the as far as like the voice recording. Like, I think if I were to say some nice things about this movie is, I liked that they actually spent some time on Oa. The training sequences didn't feel. I'm not saying anything nice about them, but I think the voice acting for the characters, even the guardians, they weren't bad. The voice acting for them was actually pretty good.
I have my one nice thing I'll say about the movie. Sinestro didn't look bad.
Not at all. No, I think they nailed it as far as like comic accurate. Like, looks great.
Yeah.
And it was because he was not very CGI. Like, they had to have just put, like, a prosthetic on that actor's head, Mark Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to have just put like, a prosthetic. But, like, he looked fine. But, no,
oh
dude.
Oh, my God,
like,
man. When they're at that, like, freaking... I forget what it was, like a party, whatever.
The party.
Benefit, whatever.
Yes.
And he like uses his powers and he just creates a giant Hot Wheels. I was like, what are we doing?
At first, I was thinking to myself, he added like the wheels to it. And I was like, Hal, that's still gonna kill her. Like, that's still,
I know. I was like, there are so many other ways.
There are so many other ways. And talk about bad CGI, that scene in particular, where that helicopter is sliding for what seems like miles.
Dude.
Like, it cuts away like three times to characters and comes back, and that thing is still flying on the ground.
It was rough. What else? Oh, okay. In that same scene, Hector comes up and like smells Blake Lively It was weird.
Yeah.
And then he just got more weird and scary looking.
Yeah.
And
like, it was weird because like, Hal wasn't a dick to him. Like, he was kind of just like, he kind of like was like, yeah, like living up to expectations fucking sucks. Like, he literally says to him what he says to him, like, at the end of the movie. And so you're kind of like, oh, like, you probably shouldn't be a dick to this guy. Like, but it's all because of the girl. It's all because he's like, oh, like, you're more handsome than me. So Blake Lively likes you better. So I'm going to hate you too.
It was like, weird. None of the, like, I didn't care about anything in this movie.
No.
Where?
No.
Like, it was just, and the funny thing is I was thinking about this when this movie, like, while I was watching it. Like, you take this and you create a, like, 5-point blueprint, like, a story outline on, like, just a piece of paper. And you write out, like, this is the inciting incident. What's the rising action, the climax. You know, you write all of it out like that in, like, bullets. I'm going to be like, this Green Lantern movie might rip. Because it's not a bad story outline.
Yeah.
It's just the execution across the board is very bad.
Yes. Yeah. To me, so much of it was like sort of wasted potential because like they do that training sequence, which that was his first day as a lantern, like literally his first day as a lantern. He like learns to fly very, very quick. Like we don't even have like, we have like a split second of a comedic beat of him falling. I could have, even though this is sort of a cliche, you know, concept, but like I could have given with like him falling and then like imagining himself like the first time he flew a jet or something like that. Like take me back there. And then get me in that mind, get me in that, you know, mood of, well, what would it be like if I had the ability to fly without a jet? You know, put me in that mind space. And then he flies. Give me that. But instead, they just have him fall for a second. And then he pops right back up. And he's a master. Like, he knows how to do backflips, can fly everywhere. We have combat training, which, again, this is his first day. We have combat training where he gets his ass beat. Then Sinestro comes, beats his ass, and looks at him and says, like, you know, like, Ebon Sur, like, you're a disgrace to wearing his ring. And I'd be like, motherfucker, this is my first day. Like, I just learned that all of this was a thing. Give me, do all of the Green Lanterns, the minute they get the ring, can they beat you, Sinestro? Because if so, you suck. Like, if you're getting clowned out by a day one lantern, Sinestro.
Like, dude, that was I think one of the biggest, like, failures of the movie was none of the conflict felt earned.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of, like, I was like, why do you not like that person? Or this person, not like this person.
Yeah.
From like Hector to Sinestro to like, I still don't know what that big monster was doing.
Dude.
Parallax.
I have no idea like why it honed in. Like, I guess it got like a little ping from Hector having it inside of him and was just like, oh, this is a world that I can, you know, feast on the fear. Sinestro multiple times, like, you're like, oh, like, this guy's actually kind of a good guy, like, okay, I'm cool with him, like, and yeah. Then like he has those random moments of just like, why are you being a dick, like, out of nowhere.
That was like one of the, I don't know, it was like half the time, like you just said, it was like, this guy's pretty chill. I thought he might be the bad guy of this movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, maybe he will be the bad guy in this movie, and I was like, no, he's not. I was like, I was never like, and not in a good way of unsure. It was like, I was like, this is wildly inconsistent.
Just the way I kind of like, I drew a parallel to another movie of Doctor Strange. We have Mordo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good guy. Most of the time, he teaches Doctor Strange how to do pretty much everything. He has that realization where the sorcerers have, all of the Sorcerer Supremes have been using this untapped power that they have always preached as like incredibly dangerous. Nobody should ever touch it. And basically they use it for themselves. So he has that realization of just like, hey, leadership here is fucked. Like they're not even, you know, practicing what they preach. So you understand it when you see him kind of become a bad guy in the end credits scene. In this, it's quite the opposite. Sinestro is about to use fear instead of willpower and use a kind of a dope yellow ring. I gotta say, it was dope when he put it on and like color. Give us such a color change, dude.
We're suckers for that.
We're suckers for that. But he just went through Hal, who they have already established, like, oh, you know, like humans are weak. Humans are a very young race. Like, you know, there's no way you can defeat Parallax. He just defeated him with the power of willpower, came back. Sinestro basically welcomes him as a brother. He celebrates with like all the Green Lanterns. There's really no time that like we get even a tiny scene of the Yellow Ring calling out to Sinestro or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Give us anything like that. Give us something of just like, he's trying to undermine the Guardians. Make the Guardians make a huge mistake or something like that. That Sinestro
show us
then,
why, like, he should, like, think twice about, you know, if this is the right thing or not, or if it really isn't, or if it really is so bad. Or, you know, I get what you're saying, for
yeah,
sure.
They give us none of that. So the end credits scene is just, hey, here's Sinestro, because in the comics, this is Sinestro. It's just like, yeah. No, this doesn't go along with the character that you set up this entire movie. It's just, it was frustrating because it was just like, it was fan service that had no meaning to it at all. Where it would just be like, wait, this is backwards. This should be at the end of, I mean, God forbid, a Green Lantern 2. Like, we should see Sinestro's, you know, like, as he careens down to like a very, very like rock bottom, like low point, or like Hal starts rubbing him the wrong way and fear starts really like calling to him, like the power of Parallax or something like that starts calling to him. But we don't get that, man. It was just, it was silly. Dude, Taika Waititi is in this movie.
Dude, I was like, hey, this guy's in this movie. How'd they get all these people in this movie?
Yeah,
I was like, this is a very bad movie.
A part of me likes to think like they gave everybody a different script that had them involved like heavily. Like their character would have a lot of lines. And then when they showed up, they were just like, hey guys, we did some minor edits, some minor
cleaned
rewrites.
A little bit up in post, but basically what you saw in the script. Yeah, dude, it's rough. I'd love to go into, you know, some ratings.
Okay. I've just got a couple notes because this was actually one of the movies I had to like jot down some notes while I was watching.
Yeah.
Why did this ring pick Hal?
Oh no, I don't know.
There's no reason at all, because he's kind of a deadbeat. He's kind of they're. In a world of, you know, what's the population of the Earth? Like, what? Like, what is it? Like 8.1 billion or something like that?
Oh, I don't
know. No, it's got to be like trillion. I don't know. Either way, there have to be, I would say 50% of the world's population are probably better fits for this ring than Hal is.
Taika would have been better.
Dude, Taika would have been a better pick too. Like, he seems like a nicer guy.
Acting badly would have been better.
Like, we start out seeing this character as like a classic, like, oh, like, you know, he gets the girls, he's always late to stuff, classic
fighter
man,
pilot.
Fighter pilot, you know, fly boy, total fly boy.
Cool uncle, wraps presents with newspaper.
But kind of a shit uncle at the same time. Like, for some reason, he's like this kid's favorite uncle, but he's like not showing up to his party on time. Like, he also was wrapping the present on his way to work instead of...
He could have waited.
Instead
he didn't have to do that in the car?
Yeah, he put somebody else's life in danger because for some reason he had to wrap the present before he actually went to the party late, mind you.
He could have made that bad decision from the trip from work to the house.
Exactly. And also, what was hilarious to me was the kid unwraps it. It's already in a fucking box. You can't see what it is. You don't have to wrap that. It's a box. He still has to open it. It's just...
The box would have been nice.
The box...
The paper really, makes it worse.
Paper's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
He puts Blake Lively's character in harm's way, destroys multi-million dollar drones and his own multi-million dollar plane for what? Like, literally, it does not. He's like, well, I showed what your drones can't do. They already knew that they couldn't go above 50,000 feet. And also, guess what, dude? Neither can you.
Yeah, you crashed too.
Like that proves nothing.
Yeah.
In a scene, I also had to just bring it up, and I sent you the picture of it. When he recites the oath for the first time, his eyes go all weird.
Man.
He looks just like Mac as Nightman from Always Sunny.
His white eyes, his mask. The mask was appalling.
It was bad.
And, like, the suit was bad. The mask was bad. Like, everything that took, like, any amount of effort with the visual department was terrible. And I'm not knocking the artist. I'm knocking probably just the amount of time they were given to get this movie done.
Yes. Right. Right. You know that they were in a crunch time situation or something like that. Dude, his collar, I really don't like. It goes up really high on his neck and then kind of turns into like a V. It's almost like a really high V neck.
But it's like super thin and just like sucked onto his skin.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
I hated it too. Back to our cliches. Essentially, him and Blake have had a relationship before, and literally this man just almost pretty much lost you a government contract that employs a bunch of people, I'm sure. And he did it while putting you in harm's way and destroying, you know, government property. But he says you're pretty to Blake, and they start dancing right after that. And then, she starts asking about him not being able to get out of that tailspin and ejecting. And he immediately runs away. He immediately says, thanks for the dance, and storms off like a little baby. No willpower there. No enduring a conversation. Nothing. Runs away. But guess what? The ring chose him. The ring already chose him. And he gets beaten up by guys who, you know, rightfully so, are pretty pissed at him for doing all that things. They lost their job because this fucking guy. And instead of getting beaten up, and what I would think a good hero would do would be like, guys, I'm sorry, or something like that, or at least take your beating and shut the fuck up. Instead, he pulls a dirty move and grabs a bunch of screws, like he's about to throw them in their face, when they were already walking away. The situation was done, and he calls them back.
And then kills them. And probably.
probably kills them, or just... maybe paralyzes one of them. Like, they're going to be eating through a straw for a while there.
Dude.
Like, taking that.
That was wild. And also, I feel insulted with how they completely underutilize how cool, like he would use the most random things, and I'd be
wild
like,
that shit.
And I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Dude,
I don't know.
Just the stuff that he brought, like, I understand the stuff when near the end, when he starts to actually use jets and stuff like that, I'm like, this is cool. You know, jets. Sure. You're a jet guy. You're a fly guy. Do that. But the Gatling gun is out of nowhere.
Oh my God. I'm like, you don't know how to build a Gatling gun. I was like, I was thinking about all the things that he doesn't know how to actually build. And like he has to like actually know, you know what
you
I mean?
You would still need to, yeah, to project something like that. Need to know that. Like a trebuchet, like he basically like puts a catapult out there on the thing. It's like, you don't know the physics. You don't know the mechanics of a real catapult. You've seen one before, but it was crazy. And then the last thing I need to say is that party scene. Are flying a helicopter, the helicopter party scene.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
He's flying a helicopter. I kid you not, it looked like it was 20 feet above a party full of people, and not one person's hair is even blowing. Dude, the food tables would be taken off of the ground. Things would be flying everywhere, and he's just hovering there.
And when the helicopter originally like starts crashing, and it's just like mowing through where people were, but like no one's getting hit. No one's hurt. Everyone was saved. And I'm like, it's going on for a while. It's clearing like a total of probably like 100 yards in like circles and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And no one is getting hit. And then Hal's taking his sweet time putting on his suit that he doesn't need to actually put on.
Nope.
It was bad.
All to make a Hot Wheels track.
All to make a Hot Wheels. I was like, what the hell is going on?
God.
It was rough.
It was rough. It was rough. But those are my notes.
Let me make sure I don't have any more on my side. Oh, yeah. Angela Bassett as Amanda Waller. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Dude,
here?
I saw that. Yeah. I was like, I guess having Amanda Waller in here, I guess from the beginning, she was in every single DC movie. We didn't even really touch on Hector's big head, but
we don't have to.
We really don't have to. Him going completely aggro on a kid in his own class, like who called him like a freak in his head.
Yeah.
He's just like, I was like, what the hell is going on? Also, him not questioning, like, your dad, you know, your dad works really high up in government. Him just being like, oh, you just picked me out of everyone to check out this alien. And also, it didn't seem like he was briefed on like classified information, or like maybe he signed an NDA at some point, but they're not picking somebody off the fucking streets. Like, the government has to have like a designated, you're our alien guy. If we ever stumble upon an alien,
hey, we should ask that one guy, maybe his son, who's a science teacher, can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a crazy thing.
That was crazy. Oh, man.
Okay, can I just compare some Rotten Tomatoes scores here, which I think are disgusting.
Yes.
It's terrible. Okay, so Green Lantern received a 25% critic score and a 45% audience score. Ghost Rider, 28% critic, 48% audience. Almost identical.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable to me.
Any
day of the week, I am watching Ghost Rider over this nonsense. Any day.
Daredevil.
Of week.
Daredevil, 42 critic versus the Green Lantern, 25. So, okay.
Okay. All right.
Audience for Daredevil was 35 and Green Lantern was 45.
People don't know what they're talking about.
Yo, this audience is dumb.
Bunch of stupid idiots.
Spirit of Vengeance, 18 and 31 versus 25 and 45. So
31 is way too high. 31 is way, 18 is honestly too high for that.
Yeah, we don't, it's all right. It can't hurt you anymore, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over. It's over.
And unfortunately, lower than all of this is Batman and Robin, which is 11 and 16. Where I'm like, guys, it's not that bad.
Come on.
Like,
yeah.
Like, we've seen worse. There's plenty worse.
What killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age. But it's a good movie. It's bad. Bad.
Hey,
but,
it's a good bad movie. Yeah.
But Colin, where does this land on your 10 score or however else
on
you
my 10
rate
score
it?
I mean, after hearing those, I'm kind of like on the same page there. I have to give this higher than Spirit of Vengeance. I think I gave Spirit of Vengeance maybe like a 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
I will give this a 4.5 because I enjoyed the voice acting of some of the CGI characters. I enjoyed the first visit to, what was it called again?
Don't ask me, man.
Uru.
Not gonna be.
Uru. 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 Uru.
It's a Finding Dory reference.
Yeah. I feel good about a 4.5. I do.
I understand. I want to just give this a grade, give it an F. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Give it an F. On Letterboxd, I gave it 1 star. The only reason it didn't get half a star is because Spirit of Vengeance got half a star.
Yeah.
And this needs to be a little higher than Spirit of Vengeance.
It's not there. Yeah. Right.
But yeah, one out of 5, which would translate to 2 out of 10, which I still maybe like a 1.8.
That's fair.
It's bad.
That's fair.
I didn't like it at all. I struggled to stay awake.
And you had never seen this before, right?
This no, was I hadn't.
First, yeah.
It
didn't even get that boost for like a first time viewing. You know what I mean? Where things are new for you.
Let me backpedal a little bit. Actually,
all right. Okay.
Because I was saying, so Jennifer was watching most of it with me, and I was like, it's not Spirit of Vengeance bad because like. While it was terrible, there was a storyline, and I was watching, and I was kind of just, even if I was like not really enjoying it, I was just like, I'll see where it goes, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't think I ever thought about turning it off, which it's so like, I'll get, you know, I stick to my 1 star. I still think it's like a failure if I'm giving it I think it's an F, but I'll give it, you know, yeah. A little higher than a 1.8, but the 1 out of 5 stars is where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah, and that's fair.
But man, it's just bad, super bad. And I think when a superhero movie is like offensively bad like that, like I am like, I imagine the studio head is just like, just like. All these comic nerds, like, they'll eat anything. Just fucking make a movie. Yeah. Those idiots.
Throw it out to them.
And I'm like, yeah. No, it's not.
Right.
So I think I take personal offense to it. But anyways, it's for me, bad, bad movie.
Bad, bad movie. Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you. And I think I am going to say a bad, bad movie solely because, like, it's just not even rewatchable to me. Like, it's not even like, hey, like, I could have fun with this. Like, no, like, I've watched it. Cool. The fact that it's taken me this long to see it once, I mean, should speak for itself.
And like,
but yeah, just
any given day, I would watch any of the Sony Spider-Man universe movies. And I just mean, like, I'm talking the movies that don't have Spider-Man in them, but
yes.
The Morbius, the Madame Web, the Venom, even the though, Venoms. Hey, Venom movies, not so bad. And then what else would I'd rather watch Fan4Stick.
See, that's going to be another interesting one because I don't think I've ever seen that one like all the way through. I think I have seen the complete movie, but all in different pieces.
We'll just have to watch it eventually someday, not next week though.
Nope.
I don't know what we're doing next week, but we're going to do something good.
We got to figure something cool out.
We got to be happy next week.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, there's only so many of these bad movie nights that you can sack on one another.
we got to have a nice palate cleanser next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. But yeah, anyways, Colin, any final thoughts for the donut holes out there before we hop off?
Ryan Reynolds has a super punchable face, and it is in full form in this movie, especially when he has his mask on. Like, holy crap.
I like him significantly more as Daredevil. I mean, Deadpool.
Deadpool, yes. Yeah. They got it right.
Yeah. Not this. I like why do I keep saying Daredevil? Deadpool. And he's like,
you got Daredevil on the brain, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to start rewatching Born Again Season 1 here pretty soon to get ready for Season 2. I do think it's funny in Deadpool when he's like, please don't make the suit green or animated.
People hate that.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, I think that's it for me.
Well, then, that's going to be it for us. So once again, my name is Colin, and I'm here with my best good pal and co-host, Adrian. And together we make up Donut Squad Radio. So may the force be with you. Excelsior. Stay cold. And we'll see you next time here on DSR.
Powered by Riverside.